And gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. I'm Doug Hagmann, together with Joe Hagmann, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, broadcasting proudly on the Global Star Radio Network, as well as BTR, the fine folks there at Blog Talk Radio, and, of course, YouTube Live. One show, three platforms. I want to welcome everyone to this edition. Of course, we broadcast weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, right here on the Global Star Radio Network, as well as BTR and YouTube Live. A lot of stuff to get into tonight. Folks, go to, for show prep, information, HagmannReport.com. There you'll find the schedule for tonight as well. Tonight, the first hour, we're going to be going over some very interesting, very important news items. Second hour, we're going to be talking with investigative journalist Lexi Bess, covering a lot of information, a lot of current events. And, of course, the third hour, William Ramsey is going to be joining us as well. A couple of items that we're going to be discussing the first hour and even into the second and third hours, but very important. Of course, the news of the day, you can't escape it, is the NFL stuff and take it to the groin, basically. This is going to be my opening monologue, if you will. I spoke about this in my morning show, and I really believe that people need to understand exactly what's taking place here. This is not what you think it is. Just as the protesters who protested the hearings on the Obamacare bill today have no idea, I truly believe they have no idea what they're protesting, what the intricacies of this bill, this new bill, the Graham bill is all about. And I would say that the protesters from the NFL, some 200 players, really have no idea the core, what's at the epicenter of their protests. Now, as I mentioned on my earlier, my morning show, my personal Twitter account is at HagmannPI. And the reason I bring this up, I sent a tweet out yesterday, and it was a simple picture with my caption, enough said. It was a picture cut into four panels, four squares. And the top left was a woman crying over a flag drape coffin, casket. The top right was a military veteran in a wheelchair, unable to stand. The whole issue was about respect. In the bottom, the lower left, was a photograph of a headstone from the Civil War, and then, of course, the money captions, of course, were in the bottom right. And it's on your screen if you're watching this YouTube via YouTube.
The first panel
was this is why you don't step on the flag, and behind that the wording. Now, this is not my graphic. I couldn't find who to attribute the graphic to, but whoever did this did a fine job. The woman crying over casket, this is why you don't step on the flag. And then, of course, the man in the wheelchair, this is why you stand for the national anthem. The bottom lower left, this is why we don't erase history. And then the culminating panel is, you're not black, you're not white, yellow, or brown, you're an American, start acting like it. Now, the reason I bring this up is I sent this out on my Twitter account at HagmannPI. And it was fine. It got retweeted numerous times, and there were some responses. One response bothered me in particular. I'm not picking on this individual. I am upset with the sentiment behind it, because this individual sent a tweet back saying essentially that we are not to make idols you know, Jesus is the only one I worship, or basically Jesus is the only one person I worship, or only.
Was that an email or a Twitter response?
It was a Twitter response. Okay. But here's the thing. There was not a damn thing said in that, there's nothing about worshiping the American flag. There's nothing about worshiping the country. It has nothing to do with worship. And I believe, sincerely believe, that this is the major problem of evangelical Christians in this country. Mm-hmm. Stop acting like you're morons.
No.
Because you are morons. All right, because there's nothing about idol worship here. It's not idolatry. What this is simple respect. Okay, you have to understand this. And it really angers me to hear these evangelical Christians talking like this, saying, well, this is idol worship. No, it's not. It's respect. It's respect for your flag. It's respect for your country. There's not idolatry here. There's not worship here. It's respect.
And many of these same people are Catholics who pray to Mary.
It doesn't matter. Evangelicals, it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. This is going to backfire. But here's the issue behind it. This is Obama's legacy. This is Hillary Clinton's legacy. This is the legacy of Bernie Sanders. This is the legacy of Pelosi and Schumer. And all of these morons, these globalists, everybody involved in this, they own this. And I want people to understand. Now, am I angry? You know what I'm most angry about? I'm not angry about the overpaid, morons who play the game. And to make a political statement, to politicize the NFL. The NFL died this year. They're just waiting to be buried. And it bothers me too, that there are a lot of Christian men out there who know the various statistics of every freaking NFL player or MLB player, but they don't have a clue. If you ask them to name one constitutional amendment, they don't have a clue. They'll look at you like you got two heads. Okay? You've got, and this bothers me a lot. But it bothers me as it envelops the evangelical Christian community, because the very people who accuse me or accuse the president of some idolatrous tort, okay, are the very same people who sit on their rumps on their couches and don't do a damn thing except criticize. And the very same people who come after me, who come after Steve Quayle, who come after Pastor Langford, that's the mentality that we are fighting. And if we keep fighting in this fashion, we are going to lose. If you, not you, the audience, but if you, the individuals out there, who believe that standing for the national anthem is idolatry as opposed to respect, learn the difference. Get a dictionary. Learn the difference. Now, it angers me, because this is why we are going to lose if we keep this up. And the people who continue, if you are against what you see on the field, by the players, by the team owners, by the coaches, by these morons out there, these idiots out there, these overpaid morons, it's a game. We don't care what you think. Keep your political views to yourself. Your political views are no more valuable than mine. Just because you get $20 gazillion to get smacked around on a football field, I don't care. In fact, you're overpaid idiots. And shut your claptrap. You got hit in the head one too many times. But I'll tell you something, all right? We need to get together as a community. This is Obama's legacy. The underlying current here. Remember when Obama came into office in 2008, the media wouldn't touch his allegiance, it wouldn't touch his background, it wouldn't touch, they would not vet Barack Hussein Obama.
But they pumped up cars for clunkers.
Yes. It is all about Obama being selected in the implementation of socialism. That's what this is all about. It's the implementation of this socialism as a stopping point or a stepping stone for communism. Globalism under a communist dictatorship, essentially. This is what this is all about. And we are seeing the manifestations of the 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama with the senatorial run of Hillary Clinton and the leadership, the spineless jellyfish leadership of the GOPE, the establishment Republicans. This is what we're seeing today. This is the reason. They are the reason. The indoctrination as well. Three books. Utopian Road to Hell. Crushing the Collective. And the third book by David Kapelian, The Snapping of the American Mind. Explains everything. All available, by the way, at W&D Superstore. Use promo code Hagman. You get those three books, you read those three books, and you combine the information together, and you will see exactly what I'm talking about, because we are seeing this manifest right now. Right now, we're seeing the result of decades long of socialism being crammed down our throat, the indoctrination of our children, the taking of the protesters, the William Ayers and Bernardine Dorans from the 60s, the protesters, and putting them in positions of power in today's universities. This is what we're seeing. This is the result of that. We're seeing this. And the brainwashing of the masses of the American people and the people of the West. It's interesting how this started in the UK and worked its way over to the United States. This morning, I think I quoted 140. But the bottom line is this is all about, And this is a backdoor attack against Donald Trump. And don't tell me, this is not, putting Donald Trump on a pedestal. This, the agenda of Donald Trump, if you heard him speak at the United Nations last week, and this I mentioned.
That dark, totalitarian dark speech.
Yeah, but I mentioned this in my show this morning, and I want to make sure I got this quote right. Basically what he said was, Venezuela, it is not an image of failed socialism.
Right.
Venezuela is socialism that is working. Yeah. That is implemented perfectly. That's correct. So I want everyone to understand what we're seeing here and the bottom line with this. The bottom line with this is Van Jones called the election whitelash. What we're seeing is whiplash. This is what we're seeing today is whiplash, cultural and moral whiplash. When you right a wrong, suddenly you get whiplash. So we're seeing cultural and moral whiplash to right the wrongs that have been done under 8 years of socialism, Islamic contamination of our Judeo-Christian country, rending the moral fabric of this country. That is what we're seeing. And to those people out there who are listening to this program, and you go to these football games and baseball games where these so-called these so-called freedom-loving people. Now, I have no problem with protests, because protests are very much needed, and I will not silence anyone. However, there is a stopping point.
Yeah, riots and protests are completely
different. That's right. That's right. However, they're different. But this is not about idolatry. Now, I also want to weigh in too before we cut loose on the actual program. I also want to weigh in on the healthcare bill. Look, right now, it does not appear that the Graham healthcare bill is going to pass. And you had protesters filing into the office building or the hearing room where the health bill was being discussed. And and I'm going to be talking about this on my show tomorrow morning in detail, because you need to understand what's happening here as well. Out of all the news, I mean, you've got North Korea news, you've got Iran news, you've got geopolitical, you've got political, you've got the Mueller probe, you've got all of these items that are everything. But the bottom line is, these are all forcing right now. These are all, everything we're seeing right now is designed to take Donald Trump out of the office, take the president out of the office, and take the presidency out of our country. And you have to understand where this is going. They want to socialize this country. And I've got one eye looking at Mike Pence. I don't say what you will about Mike Pence, but I got one eye on him. Because there's something radically wrong. There's a coup going on within the Oval Office, within the West Wing, within the White House, within the government, within the military. There's a coup taking place. But to grab a third of our economy, of the American economy, they're attempting to do this through the health care bill. Obama did this through Obamacare. Obama, Pelosi, all the usual suspects. Now listen to this carefully. Okay, what is going to happen? And I believe this to be the case. You've got until September 28th. You've got about 3 days, 4 days, 3 days. This bill has to be passed by September 28th, or what's going to happen, or it's not going to be passed, because you've got the issue of the tax. It's tied very closely to the tax bill. All right, the budget tax bill. Betsy McCoy, I suppose. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. It appeared on Neil Cavuto. Now, this bill that's before the committee would have protected those with pre-existing conditions. And I'll bet you ask any of those people in the wheelchairs who are nothing but stooges for the people. I mean, they were props. And you know, If I had a family member in a wheelchair that was wheeled in or wheeled themselves into that room to debate the healthcare or the healthcare debate, knowing that they were being used as props, that would really anger me as well. But some of these people have no idea what they're protesting, what it's all about. You ask them, you get a blank look.
76% don't know what even one of the tenets of the First Amendment guarantee.
Well, but we're talking about healthcare, though.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying in general the knowledge of the American people when it comes to issues of government.
Okay. What's going to happen is this bill will not pass. The next step, there, you're going to have 12 million Americans. The middle class, that's you and I, barely, but you and I, who will end up with, if you don't have it already, you're going to end up with your health care bill being the size of your mortgage payment or greater. There will not be any subsidies. Currently, currently Obamacare is imploding. And you might think, well, Obamacare is the greatest godsend since sliced bread. Obamacare, well, it was not meant to survive. And it's going to morph into a single-payer health care system. That's the objective here. Eventually, we are going to have a communist-style health care bill, thanks in part to the Republicans. All this bill would have slowed the rise of the uninsured middle class. It would have as well slowed the rise by 4.5% to 2026, by the way.
As Peter Chalker said, yeah, this is what would happen.
Right. Paul Krugman from the New York Times called this bill cruel beyond belief. You talk about fake news, that's fake news. The federal government right now, the federal government right now pays far more into, you know what, I'm not going to get into this. I'm not going to get into the particulars of this, only because this, I'm sure a lot of people will be lost in the minutia of this. Suffice it to say this. This bill would have protected people with pre-existing conditions. It would have taken the money out of the participants of Obamacare and spread it among the different states. It would have made the whole system a lot more fair. Because, for example, you've got state block grants associated with this health care bill. And it would even that out.
Two states consuming 50% of the cost?
No.
That wasn't judged today.
Well, but that's, yeah, again, my reference is, for example, you've got Mississippi. The average person down there gets $400, for example, $400 subsidy, whereas in Massachusetts they get $10,000. Okay, it's unfair. This would have evened that out. And that's a very simplistic, extremely simplistic approach to it. More on that as time goes on, but you're going to see this tank. You're going to see Obamacare tank as it stands. And I believe one thing should be done, and only one thing. Repeal the entire bill. Repeal it all. Kill Obama's legacy flat out. Kill it.
And remember, while Obama was president during his second term, 67 times, the Senate brought bills forth to replace and repeal Obamacare, knowing the president would not sign that bill. Now that we have a president in the office willing to sign the bill, zero. When they work together as a consensus, you have people like John McCain and a few other obstructionists come in and say, not going to do it. Doesn't matter how much it helps, not going to do it. Much more at play than just the politics involved.
Well, you've got Senator Susan McCollins of Maine said she's going to oppose the latest plan. You've got Rand Paul. You've got Ted Cruz and John McCain. Did I say John McCain? John McCain, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Senator Susan Collins, an undocumented Democrat in my view. But you need 50. You need 50 votes. That's not going to happen. So that's, and this is important because, and again, I would urge everyone to go back and listen to Peter Barry-Chalka talking about the socialism aspects of Obamacare. Their goal, the establishment Republicans as well as the progressive left, their goal is a single payer system, which will be the final, to quote Peter Barry-Chalka, the final nail in the coffin for this country. Okay, moving along, I want to mention this, and this is something that I'm keeping my eye on specifically. Anthony Weiner has been sentenced to 21 months in prison for sexting with a minor. He was sentenced to 21 months in prison today for sexting with a 15-year-old high school student. Now, how depraved, morally, sexually, spiritually depraved do you have to be? Anthony Weiner, what a shame, what a piece of, in my view anyway, Anthony Weiner, he's not only a criminal, he's a pervert, and he needs to register as a sex offender. He's a former Democratic congressman from New York, of course. He's the husband of Huma Abedin. A federal judge in Manhattan sentenced him today. It also sentenced Weiner to 3 years of supervised release after he serves prison and fined him $10,000.
Do we know how?
Huma must be so proud. Now, he must surrender to prison by November 6th. And according to AP, Weiner held his head. He cried. He cried. Yeah, it's amazing how you cry crocodile tears.
Yeah.
Now, this is a serious crime that deserves extremely serious punishment, Denise Cody said during the sentencing. Weiner's 53 years old. He pleaded guilty and made a one count of transferring obscene material to a minor. Weiner sent a 15-year-old girl from North Carolina obscene messages, including adult pornography. And of course, during several conversations, online video chat messaging platforms last year, he did all this at that time. He convinced the teenager to take off her clothes, for him via Skype, despite her telling Weiner that she was in high school. So he knew exactly what he was doing. And this takedown here, this could have been a lot worse and should have been a lot worse in my view. This is tied to the, and don't forget, by the way, the federal prosecutors asked the judge to sentence Weiner to just over 2 years in prison, but the former congressman asked for probation. The hubris of this guy. In the statement in May, Wiener said his sexting was part of a sickness. And of course he went, you know, to that pony ranch to get unsick. Well, the guy's still sick. All right. He's got a history of sending lewd photos and images to women, and his indiscretions ultimately led him to resign from Congress back in 2011. His actions ultimately led his wife, Huma Abedin, to file for divorce in May. She served as one of Hillary's closest aides, kind of like the daughter she never had. But it was during the FBI's probe into Wiener's conduct, agents discovered the Abedin emails. And about that, to kind of segue into the Huma Abedin emails, if you watch the latest videos from Judicial Watch, and I would urge everyone to do so, understand this. It is the Sessions Department of Justice. The Department of Justice under Jeff Sessions, who are not cooperating with the FOIA requests, the FOIA requests, as well as the necessitating them to file in court. And they're the documents that are coming from the Huma Abedin emails, from the Hillary Clinton emails, are being redacted, and those that aren't being redacted are scheduled to be released over a 3-year period, which is just totally obscene. And I'm going to be doing I'm going to be doing a special on this because you've got to understand what these emails represent. These emails represent a number of things, including but not limited to selling in part and parcel national security secrets to our enemies. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. Network break, 3 minutes.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
Uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Hey, welcome back to this edition of the Hagman Report. I got to tell you, there's so much going on right now. There's so many things taking place. It's hard to keep up. But in the front and center of all of this, of course, you've got the health care. It's being hidden by the optics of the NFL. You know what's going on there. Okay, again, the NFL is the protest with the players. This began about race. Now it's about a deeper ideology than what is being reflected by the corporate media. And I'd like to quote Greg Jackson. You know, the corporate media will give this an inch deep and a mile wide coverage, but not get to the depth that is necessary to understand what is taking place. What is taking place here is the institutional implementation of socialism, and it is the whiplash that we're seeing with Donald Trump in office. You had a decade, an entire decade right now, or the last decade, I should say, plus of this Obama mentality, this socialist mentality, the Cass Sunsteins, the Van Jones, the Valerie Jarretts, even to the greater extent, but more muted, Hillary Clinton. You had all of this for the last decade, and we are pushing this, or we have been pushing this, onto the American people. I am surprised by the number of people, frankly, who have been so supportive of Bernie Sanders, the so-called libertarian or independents, who say, well, Bernie Sanders got a raw deal. Yes, he did. But thank God, at least to a minimal extent, that he got a raw deal. The fact of the matter is, Bernie Sanders is an avowed socialist. If you look at the CPC, the Congressional Progressive Caucus, the 71 members of that congressional caucus who are lawmakers. Well, actually, 69 of the 71. One is a non-voting delegate, and the other, well, actually 70. And then, of course, you have Bernie Sanders. But here's what's taking place. You are seeing this ground for a decade being fertilized for socialism, for globalists, for the collective. And then you have Donald Trump come in and say, wait a second, no, we have to put America first. And the United Nations speech, which I alluded to last hour, just to paraphrase what Donald Trump said, look at Venezuela. That is not a picture of failed socialism. That is a picture of socialism that was successful. And this is what we're looking down the barrel of this in the future. We're looking down the barrel of this particular scenario to happen here in the United States. And the NFL is just one symptom of that. It's one collateral aspect of that. And so, again, getting back to Bernie Sanders, yes, he was, I'm convinced, in my view, that he was cheated out of the Democratic nomination, but thank God he was. Now, having said that, the Sanders, which would be socialism, Hillary Clinton, communism, the Maoist doctrine of communism, the Maoist, even the Stalinist version of communism, versus the Sanders stepping stone of socialism to overtake our country. Now, here's the thing. It amazes me how many libertarians are in favor of, or were in favor of, or supportive thereof, Bernie Sanders. And what I would urge everyone to watch and be very, very careful is the next Democratic presidential candidate on the national level is going to come from or be endorsed by CPUSA, the Communist Party USA, or coming from within the Congressional Progressive Caucus, which is nothing more than a communist front embedded in our leadership. Now, here's the other thing. The midterm elections. What is taking place there? You're going to see a lot of things take place, and a lot of people from, endorsed by CPUSA and the Congressional Congressional Progressive Caucus. Again, the Communist Front, the Socialist Front. You're going to see a lot from there, either supported by this entity or be reelected, and you're going to see this grow like you've never seen before. The reason for this is you've got Mueller biting on the heels of people like Paul Manafort. You got Mueller biting on the heels of others, Kushner, for example. Isn't it amazing, by the way, as I continue my monologue, isn't it amazing that you've got Mueller, who is making a big deal now about the alleged unsecured communications of Jared Kushner, when in fact we've got 33,000 or more unsecured classified documents, emails, and don't give me, well, they weren't classified at the time. They were classified at the time. They were just not marked classified. 33,000 emails that were wiped out by Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton, and Huma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, Heather Samuelson, all of these people. The Hillary Clinton criminal, and by the way, this weekend, when Donald Trump was talking, endorsing Luther over Judge Roy Moore, which I think he regrets. Yep. He really regrets that. The fact is this. When you look at this, when you look at all of this in its entirety, he had said, too, at that meeting, when there were chants of lock her up, he looked at the crowd and said, talk to Jeff Sessions. Well, the last I knew, Jeff Sessions was subordinate to somewhat subordinate to the President of the United States. I understand the divisions of government, the three branches of government. I understand that. But you cannot have either an out of control, well, you cannot have an out of control special prosecutor or special counsel. Don't forget the independent counsel law expired a number of years ago. You've got a special counsel that is essentially violating two laws by itself, not by his existence, but by his actions. And you've got Hillary Clinton, who many believe mentally, and I do suspect that this is some sort of mental misfire here, where Hillary Clinton absolutely positively is being let off the hook. Why? Because, well, she didn't win, so she's now irrelevant. No. That would be like saying, well, you know what? The guy robbed the bank, but the fact of the matter is, he lost the money. So, we're not gonna charge him. It's BS. We must, as a unified front, we must present a unified front in the alternative or honest media, and we must pressure Jeff Sessions, to his Department of Justice, at the very least, we must pressure him to go off and to prosecute Hillary Clinton. And as a matter of fact, we should demand a special counsel to investigate the Clinton email scandal, which was not discovered. And again, just to give you a little history, that wasn't known until the Benghazi committee hearings. If the Benghazi committee hearings did nothing else, they were responsible for showing, for discovering the fact that Hillary Clinton was using an email server, contrary to law that extends back to 1995. Also, George W. Bush did the same very same thing. He used his own server as well while president, although not as prolific as Hillary Clinton. But Hillary Clinton back in 2000 had said, I'm not going to use email. No, look, I'm investigated for everything. But all of this, and ultimately she did, and she got hooked on the Blackberries, and there were 11 separate devices under the Secretary of State alone, and then you've got Huma Abedin, you've got Blackberries, you've got laptops, and this overlaps into the Anthony Weiner situation. So all of this together, and the DNC hacks were not hacks, of course, they were leaks. You've got Julian Assange out there, and Julian Assange knows who provided WikiLeaks with the DNC emails. Now, when you look at this collectively,
what would you say? 85% sure?
That? No, 100% sure. It was not a hack. Okay. So the bottom line is, you've got, one other thing here, while I'm at it, and you can tell I'm not scripted here. I've got no notes, outside of a few little words here and there. But the fact is, in addition to everything else, you've got the Seth Rich murder investigation, and you've got the IT scandal in Congress with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Awan cabal. I'm not even going to say Awan brothers, because it was Awan and his wife Hina Alvi, who, by the way, has come back from Pakistan, as we've talked about before, who's come back from Pakistan and is arranging a plea deal. So take a look at this all, and do not look at the minutia of this only. You have to kind of pull back the lens, and then once you get an idea of the landscape, then you look at each individual aspect of this. You look at this as one big crime scene, and then it's got to be separated into more manageable crime scenes with teams of investigators investigating each one of these, working together to really prosecute the Clinton-Obama criminal cabal. But we've never seen criminality like this. And the fact that this special counsel under Robert Mueller, the fact that this alone exists and is being permitted to exist, should tell you and I everything we need to know about the shadow government who is in power, because they should not be allowed to exist. If I were Donald Trump, I would get rid of the special counsel. I would fire them right now, or demand that Jeff Sessions fire Mueller, because there are so many conflicts of interest. There's so much incestuous conduct going on, the felonious activity taking place within the office of the special counsel, and the fact that the intelligence agencies, as we are finding out now, thankfully through Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch, we're finding out the weaponization of the intelligence services going back to Samantha Power. By the way, and I don't know how many, and I talked about this in my morning show, 260 individual requests by the ambassador, U.S. ambassador of the United Nations, for unmasking in the time period leading up to the election, and then between election day and inauguration day, it continued. Now think about that. 260 requests for unmasking.
And that's outside of your job description.
Right? Of course, yeah. Of course. You tell me, the ambassador of the United Nations, you tell me what business she has to unmask the names of Americans who were caught up either in incidental surveillance or deliberate surveillance. You tell me. There is no precedent for this, and this is a criminal aspect.
Well, you can't deny an order from King Obama.
No, I'll tell you what. Let's not trivialize this.
Oh, I'm not trivializing.
Let's not trivialize this,
the
because
scandals from his beginning to even his outing of president, his presidency, are
exactly
unlike any other president in history. And I don't want to play the race card, but many people say that if he was not African American, he would have been arrested and impeached many, many, many times
by the Lynch Department of Justice, by the Holder Department of Justice. No, I don't buy that okay. One bit. Okay, he stacked the deck, and here's that's that whole issue. The deck was stacked from day one with the assistance of the Bush people, with the assistance, because they would not have existed without Bush. Without the Republican establishment throwing out the weak, lame 2008 candidates, this would not have happened had Bush not acquiesced and the Republican establishment not acquiesced from day one. And this is why we go back to 2007, 2008, and saying, look, who is Obama? What are his bona fides? And you know what? You come up with zip. So here's the deal. You've got criminality that is not being addressed. You've got the Samantha Power, 260 unmasking requests before, during, and immediately after the election, and between the time of the election and the inauguration, giving that power by Brennan, as well as by James Clapper, who James Clapper lied under oath at least twice to Congress. You've got Brennan, the same deal. You've got all of these establishment Republicans. Now you've got Judicial Watch in a separate but related situation. Tom Fitton and his outfit, they've got, I don't know, well over two dozen, I believe it is, active lawsuits right now going after the paperwork from, going after the emails and correspondence documentation. And they are getting what? Getting nothing from the Sessions Department of Justice. Why? Why is that? Because, number one, there are some Obama holdovers there, but that's not the entire reason.
It's a cover-up.
It's a cover-up, because there are people, there are establishment Republicans that are involved in this process, that are involved in that group of not appointed, or not elected, but shall we say appointed or selected positions that are running interference. And I don't believe Donald Trump knows this. And this is why we're seeing Donald Trump being isolated to a large degree by his chief of staff and by the people around him. He is not, no, I don't believe he knows the entirety. I don't believe he knows the scope of what is not getting through. And if he did know, would it matter? I think it would. So we're seeing a palace coup take place. We're seeing the establishment Republicans just running roughshod over the American people. You're seeing John McCain leading the globalists. And then you're now developing, in addition to everything else, you are developing, we're being forced to war. Oh, did I mention that? The war footing? Let me just say this. North Korea right now, we flew, of course, bombers very close to the east part of North Korea, closer than ever before, and we are in a position right now that is equally perilous, I would say, if not more so, than the Cuban Missile Crisis. Now, what's going on there? Of course, much was said about Donald Trump's reference to Kim Jong-un as Rocket Man, and of course, the war of words back. But here's the issue. Now, North Korea intends to explode a hydrogen bomb over the Pacific. Bad idea for so many reasons, but...
And I wouldn't think it's North Korea. I bet China would have a much larger role in that than we would be told.
Well, perhaps. But North Korea is the front man here. And China, can China pull this, rein them back in? I don't know. But the fact is this. We are at, right now, war footing, or basically war footing, according to the people I've spoken to over the course of the last couple of days, even during the weekend. The takedown by an EMP perhaps of any aircraft flying in the area of this hydrogen bomb test would be an act of war. And this is not going to end well. No matter how you look at this, this is not going to have a good end. And the reason we are here today is the appeasement, the Neville Chamberlain appeasement of George Bush. Well, I'm going back to Clinton, Bill Clinton. This all started back in the early 90s. Yeah, and one can argue it started back in 1950 with North Korea. I get that. But if you want to talk modern times, all right, it started with Bill Clinton, the presidency of Clinton, and it continued with George H.W., a little bit with Reagan, although Reagan was a little bit tough after what he did with Libya, what they saw with Libya, but North Korea was relatively quiet during the Reagan years. And then, of course, you had Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton essentially sold the store via his wife as well as him, sold the national store, and the entire situation was inherited by Donald Trump. He got a really bad... Donald Trump inherited a soup sandwich in North Korea. So he's left now to do something. Otherwise, are we going to accept a nuclear North Korea that right now or in the very short term could have the potential to wipe out any city in the Pacific Rim and perhaps New York or Boston? Are we going to settle for that? Or are we going to do something? There will be arguments, of course, that we can't go to war, we can't do anything,
we can't preempt this strike.
Well,
that's the argument.
That's correct. However, we're not talking in this case. It cannot be occupation in any sense of the word. But but to blame Donald Trump for answering the rhetoric instead of appeasing the rhetoric would, in my view, is a tactical mistake. And again, this is not to elevate Donald Trump. This is just pure, in my view, anyway, pure and simple logic. So all of this news and all people can, talk about, all seem to be talking about is the visibility of the NFL players. Again, that's important, but not for the reasons you think it is. The visibility of the protests of the NFL players speaks to something much deeper, much more ingrained in our moral and spiritual and nationalistic fabric in this country than ever before. And that's what's important. To me, that's the key. And I would again cite Charles Sasser's book, Crushing the Collective. I would cite The Utopian Road to Hell by William Murray. I would cite David Kapelian's book as well, Snapping the American Mind, to understand where we are socially here today. So having said all of that, you're looking at a very perilous time in American history. And the divide and conquer strategy is alive and well. The lawlessness that we saw under Obama, the lawlessness under the Lynch Department of Justice and the Holder Department of Justice, and even going back, if you want to go back further, the lawlessness into the Janet Reno Department of Justice. Remember that. All of these have specific threads. And of course, the James Comey issues under Mueller, the Rod Rosenstein under Mueller, and under the former Comey, now Christopher Wray, FBI. You've got all of these individuals right now, all of them who have conflicts of interest, and this special counsel, this runaway special counsel, must be eradicated, must be stopped by any means necessary, because if it is not, Donald Trump is going to, Organizing for Action, the umbrella group of Obama, has been found to be funding and using funds and assets to throw roadblocks into the agenda of Donald Trump. Now, I say that, and the
what
final
group
moments,
is that, the Muslim what?
Excuse me?
The group is what? The Muslim?
The Organizing for Action is the umbrella group.
Okay, because I read an article about this today where it does not talk. The only thing it mentions that they're standing against is violent, is terrorism. It doesn't say Muslim or Islamic terrorism. It doesn't say, you know, white supremacist terrorism. Only terrorism. And you have these Muslim advocates come out and protest this, even though they're not labeled. Only their favorite tactics are labeled. But they have come out and they have continued to push against this. They even got it shut down once, but now it's moving forward in Phoenix, Arizona, I believe.
Well, okay, it's headquartered out of Embassy Row, out of Washington, D.C. And by the way, as we extend into this, as we look further, deeper into this, and we've got investigators that have infiltrated these groups, as we look deeper into this, November 4th, okay, there are riots planned for November 4th. Now, I'll be disclosing the website where all of this information exists, the various posters, the various pamphlets, the various pieces of information, and what is going on right now. And this is in part based on my investigative results, part Soros funded, part funded by other organizations that are related to Obama and have the influence by the Communist Party USA. So I guess what I'm saying to you is this. What we're seeing is a coup, and all of these, everything I've mentioned, are elements thereof, and part and parcel to this coup. And it's not about Donald Trump the man, although he is a convenient target, and certainly a likable target. When I say likable target, I'm talking about a likable target to those who don't like the freedom that America provides. This is a war against the Judeo-Christian ethic. This is a war against the spirituality of our country. This is the Christian spirituality of our country. This is a war against everything that America stands for. And it's coming from within. And right now, the globalists who have embedded themselves inside our government, assisted by the Obamas, the Clintons, the Bushes, the globalists in power. Think back to the picture where you've got the former presidents. You've got George W., George H.W., you got Carter, you had... I'm just trying to think of that picture. I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. But who's missing, obviously, was, and I'm not sure when the picture was taken, but certainly Donald Trump was not in that picture because he's not part of that group. He's not part of the influential Trilateral Commission or the influential Council on Foreign Relations. Some might argue that he's toyed with that, and especially with Kushner and Soros and such, but at the very heart of it, it's not about Trump. It's about his agenda. It's about his, the objective, America first, the nationalism, the exceptionalism. And I'm really fired up tonight about this because I think everyone needs to understand how serious this is. And if you're not understanding how serious this is, you're missing the boat. Now, coming up next hour, we've got Lexi Bess. And then in third hour, we've got William Ramsey. I just can't wait to hear what Lexi Bess has got to say about this. And, of course, William Ramsey, we're going to be talking about the various, well, the West Memphis 3. And there is a connection here to all of this as well. Now, don't forget to check HagmanReport.com because Peter Barry Chaka's articles. And don't forget, there's a special section on the sign for Peter Barry Chaka's article. And we're seeing the manifestation now of what Peter Barry Chaka had said about Sean Hannity starting at 9 o'clock on the 25th. Lo and behold, there it is. Bada-bing. He's starting on the 25th, just as you heard it here first on the Hagmann Report.
Over a month ago.
Well over a month ago. And we're seeing that happen tonight. And then, of course, Laura Ingraham next month on the 30th of October taking the 10 o'clock slot. So you've got Peter Barry Chaka saying, hey, Sean Hannity coming at 9. Now, why is that important? Because out of all of the, and I said this again on this morning, out of all of the corporate media personalities, it is Sean Hannity who is drawing the most fire, because he is the one speaking the truth in this case, and he is the last bastion of truth. You've got Lou Dobbs, Neil Cavuto, yes, but in terms of prime time, he is the last bastion, he's the last roadblock in the corporate media right now, and that is Sean Hannity. So it's great to see him at the 9 o'clock hour. And we need to support him, and we need to support every member of the alternative media, of the new media, of the honest media, who's fighting the fight of truth, the campaign for truth. We're going to be back with Lexi Best right after this. 3 minutes network break. Stay right where you're at. Greenovative. Go to HagmannReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water. But a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable. It's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces. It's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com. PreciousTimberProfits.com.